get started. The first thing I want to do is what was that last song about that we sung? Somebody.
The Wonderful Cross.
That's a good answer. The Wonderful Cross. What about the Wonderful Cross? What about it? Somebody, what about the Wonderful? It's so easy, and I've been guilty of getting in the habit of singing songs like that, and we don't really think a whole lot about the words. What else is that song talking about? Yes, Kelsey. Because of the cross, because of what Christ did on that cross, we can live. So often, I mean, that's a good reminder for me. It's a good reminder for all of us that it is a wonderful cross. We need to thank God for what He's done, sending His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. I just encourage you to not get out of the routine of thinking about the words you're singing. I know it's easy. I've been guilty of just singing the words, not thinking about what they are. The second thing, I was just going to remind you guys, a lot of you are doing so good with bringing your Bibles. And a lot of you guys know where we keep the Bibles here. And actually, about a month ago, we had brought a whole box of Bibles down here, and we're down to like 5. So that means that the Bibles are either disappearing or they're being placed somewhere else. Which, if you don't have a Bible, talk to us. We're happy to let you have one. But when you use a Bible here, return it to a leader or return it to the cupboard where it comes from. Please, 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 please. Because if we keep giving Bibles out, then we get talked to, and they're like, where are all the Bibles going? And they're either getting misplaced or lost. So if you use one, that's fine. Just give it back. Also, the ones who borrow Bibles, really, the ones who are consistent should know that this is Bible study. So bring your Bibles. I know there's times where it's a busy day, school's busy, you get picked up from school or whatever, you drive straight here from school, whatever it may be where you forget your Bibles. There are those times. But most of us know that we need to have our Bibles. So really, make it a priority just to have your Bible with you. Have a pencil if you have a pencil. If you don't, well, if you have a pencil, I know you have one. But if you bring one, great. We take notes. We have handouts almost every time we teach. But just a friendly reminder, this is a time where we study God's Word. And that's what's most important to us. So make sure you have your Bible so that you're ready. You come prepared, ready to study God's Word. All right? Fair enough? You guys are doing great. Someone say no? Oh, I thought he said no. I was like, okay, well, sorry. That's the way it is. All right, somebody tell me, what have we been studying? What book? Philippians. Okay, what have you learned just in a quick overview? What have you learned so far about Philippians? Something that stuck out to you. CJ. Pray for other believers. Josh.
Some people are preaching Christ and envy and strife.
Some are preaching Christ and envy and strife. What else? Yes, Josh.
Be content no matter what.
Be content no matter what. Who's Paul writing to? Church of Philippi. Great. All right, I got a question for you. What does it mean to be a Christian? Simple question, but we're going to be talking about this as we go throughout the lesson. What does it mean to be a Christian? In your eyes, what does that term mean? Or in the eyes of the world, what does that mean? Todd?
Represent Christ.
Represent Christ. Okay, to the world, what does it mean to be a Christian? Go to church? Okay, what else? What else would the world possibly say it means to be a Christian?
Be good.
Be good? Okay, what else? Believe in God, yeah. The world says, believe in God, but we, as the ones who see here tonight and who are believers, what does it really mean to be a Christian? It definitely means to believe in God, but what else? What else do you do? Yes, Hannah.
Repent from your sins.
And then your lifestyle, what? What happens to your lifestyle?
Josh.
I love it. Good. Where do you use Scripture? Use Scripture. New creation. The old is gone. New has come. Your lifestyle is different. On the top of your outline, the term Christian has a much deeper meaning than a belief in God. God's Word tells us 3 things that will be evident in a true believer's life. And that's really what we're going to be talking about tonight, is 3 things that would be evident in a Christian's life. Somebody who claims to know Christ, it's going to be evident in their life. Before we get into our text, let's just open up in a word of prayer and thank the Lord for the night. Heavenly Father, it is such a great night. Lord, I'm so excited to come to your word and just proclaim or just share what's been on my heart for the last week or so. Lord, I pray that as we talk about your word, I pray that it would go forth with power. Lord, I pray you go forth with clarity. Lord, I pray that we examine the word. It would be applicable to our lives as we go away from here. I pray we'd be able to apply it to our lives. I just pray to be exalted and glorified in this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 is where we're going to start. And we're going to be looking at verses 12 and 13. It says in verse 12, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Over the next few minutes, that's what we're going to be examining. We're going to really see three things that's going to be evident in our lives. They're the ones who call themselves a believer. Tonight, the lesson is not addressed to unbelievers. I'm talking strictly to those who are here who claim to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you're sitting here, though, and don't know Christ, that doesn't mean don't listen. Still listen. The first part of verse 12, "So then, my beloved." When Paul says "my beloved," he's saying "my dear one, my favorite one." He's saying, "Listen to me." Again, he's talking to the church of Philippi. He's saying, "Hey, listen to me, my loved one." So obviously we can sense Paul's compassion for the church of Philippi. He says, "Just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." The term just in that phrase means since. Since you always obey. And he's saying that you don't just obey when I'm there, when I'm in your presence. He's also saying obey in my absence, when I'm not there, when I'm gone. We know that this is important because if you remember 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, I taught, I can't remember when it was. I know I taught though. It was on Philippians chapter 1. Turn back, you may have to turn the page, but go back to 127. It says, Paul is saying, he says, only, talking to the church of Philippi, "only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm." So again, we know that this is important in the eyes of Paul. He's saying, hey, just as you've always done, he's saying this now, and he said it back in verse 27, he's just reminding them. And as you cross-reference, as you look at other passages of the phrase "just," where it says "just as you have always obeyed," it's back in Philippians 1:5. It says, "in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now." So obviously the church of Philippi was obeying. They were living in obedience. In 1:27, as we talked about, it says, Paul is saying, "I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. So obviously this whole issue of being obedient in my presence and also when I'm absent is important. We can see that just from the context of Philippians. Now at the beginning of chapter 2, what was happening? Does anybody know what was happening? We just quizzed on it. For the quizzes, we quizzed on it on Sunday. What is verse 3? By memory. Don't look. By memory. Somebody from quizzing. Who knows it? Verse 3. Stafford. Absolutely. Good job. Thanks, Stafford. It's talking about in the beginning of chapter 2, really chapter 2, verse 3, and then in verse 4 it goes on, it says, "Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus." So obviously at the beginning of chapter 2, there's a problem going on in the church of Philippi. Some of the people are struggling with being selfless. They're selfish. They're looking out for themselves. They're looking out for their own interests. They're doing what they want. And then what we see here, again, what Paul is saying in chapter 2, verse 12, he's saying, hey guys, church of Philippi, hey, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm reminding you, I just want to remind you again that you need to be obedient in my presence. You also need to be obedient when I'm gone. That's all Paul's doing. He's just reminding them again. Now, an example of this in our life could be just like at the beginning. I was reminding you guys about a simple reminder. This is Bible study. You bring your Bible. You come prepared to learn about God's Word. So just a friendly reminder. Paul saying, hey, Church of Philippi, I see you guys messing up. Listen, let me remind you of this. In the same way, just like, you know, I was thinking to myself, so often we are guilty of hearing a lesson. If I asked you what was the lesson a month ago, could somebody tell me? Without looking in their Bible? Probably not, right? Probably not. So it could be that we taught on a month ago and we teach on it again just as a friendly reminder to you all as well as to us. Just remind you, that's what Paul's doing here to the church of Philippi. He's saying, hey, whoa, this is a reminder. You are not being selfless. You need to pay attention. You need to remember. You need to be obedient when I'm here. Also be obedient when I'm gone. And so, point one, I forgot to give it to you on your outline. Sorry. Was consistent obedience. Paul is telling the church of Philippi, saying, hey, I want to see you being obedient when I'm there, when I'm in your presence, but I also want to see you obedient when I'm gone, when I'm not there. So in the same way, for you and I, or for you guys, maybe you're obedient when your leaders are there, when your leaders are watching. Man, you guys are awesome. You're great. You do exactly what a leader asks you. You do it when we say. That's so awesome. But when you're gone, and you're maybe at school, or you're somewhere else at a friend's house, maybe you're not living for Christ. And that's what Paul is telling the church of Philippi. He's saying, hey, also in my absence, serve Christ. Be obedient. The second thing on your outline, we see in the second part of verse 12, it says, work out your salvation. Let's just stop there. Well, really, let's read it all. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But we're going to focus on the first part for just a moment. I want to ask you, when it says work out your salvation, what does that mean? If you were to just take, without reading the context of it, just look at me. If you were to take a blind guess, what would you say? Seriously, just guess. I'll tell you what it means in a moment. Josh.
Like growing in your salvation,
growing closer to God. Growing closer to God, okay. William?
Just figuring out what you think you want to believe because you've been believing that, because that's the salvation you want to believe.
Okay. Well, you know, could you look at that passage or at that little phrase and it says, work out your salvation? Could somebody come to the conclusion that says, hey, that means work for your salvation? Work to be saved. Yeah, somebody can do that. But you know what? That verse doesn't mean it. It doesn't mean that at all. That phrase, when it says, work out your salvation, as you study that passage, as you look at other passages, it means to persevere, to be diligent, to stand firm. Just as Josh said, grow in your faith. So point two on your outline, I have continual perseverance, or you can put continual standing firm. However you want to do it, I don't care. But as you cross-reference that passage in Proverbs 13:4, you don't have to turn to all these passages. It says, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. In John 6:27, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on Him the Father God has sent His seal. Romans 2:7. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. In 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, what this phrase means when it says work out your salvation, it means persevere. It means stand firm. Don't give up. Grow in your faith. Grow in your faith. Stand firm. 1 Thessalonians, consistently bearing in mind your work of faith. Hebrews 6. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. It is so easy for you and I to get bogged down in everyday life, right? Right? I thought you guys would know by now that I like participation. I'm all about that. It's easy for us to get overwhelmed. Our lifestyle in today's day and age, it's so busy. It is so crazy. You think, oh, next week it's going to slow down. Yeah, right. I've said that for 8 months and it hadn't happened yet. I'm still trying to get to slow down, but it's not going to happen. It's so easy for us to get just caught up with everything that goes on. God's Word tells us that we need to persevere in the easy times, in the difficult times, in the midst of the hardest times of our life. You can't, when things get hard, when things get difficult, You can't lean on the material possessions of this earth. You can't say, well, oh man, my... Whoop. Wow, that wasn't me falling. You can't look at somebody and say, Caleb, help me. Let me lean on you. Help me get through this difficult time. Help me to persevere. No. Go to God's Word. Stand firm in your faith. Persevere through the difficult times. That's what Paul is telling the church at Philippi. He's saying, hey, listen to me, guys. Listen. Persevere. Work out your salvation. Grow in your faith. And then he goes on the end of that verse. It says, reverse. That's something else I skipped. Things are going to happen to you. Things are going to happen to me that we don't expect. Maybe you lose a friend. Maybe someone dies that you love. Maybe someone says something mean to you that you really don't like. A good friend turns on you. Maybe your friends talk bad about you and say, hey, look, that guy's a Christian freak. Does that bother you? Does that bother you? Whatever it may be, things are going to happen that you and I do not understand, but we are commanded through Scripture to stand firm, to grow in our faith, to persevere. That's what you and I are called to do. The phrase fear and trembling at the end of verse 12 really is, as I studied more and more about that passage, I went to several different passages, but it means to trust totally on the Lord. So it really goes hand in hand with what we talked about. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't rely on somebody else. Rely on Christ, the Creator of the universe. And then it says, fear and trembling. Psalm 2:11, it says, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Psalm 119, my flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Acts 16, and he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. That's the jailer when all of a sudden the earthquake came and everybody got released, and there the jailer comes. He comes trembling with fear. This small phrase talking about fear and trembling is so applicable to your life and to my life, to trust totally and wholly on God, the Creator of the universe. Is that an easy thing to do? Absolutely not. There's things that happen that you or I think that we can handle it with our own power, and you try it, and all of a sudden it gets worse. You've got to trust and rely upon God. We tend to want to trust in worldly things rather than in the Creator of the universe. The one who created you and I, brought us into existence. The third thing on your outline, as a believer in Christ, this is going to be evident in our life, and I know this is kind of stretching a little bit. I put consistent acknowledgement. Let me explain. I was trying to stay with the C deal, like 1, 2, and 3. So, but consistent acknowledgement, as we look at verse 13, we'll explain it more. Verse 13, it says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Good pleasure. The first part of that, God is basically God. He's telling the church at Philippi, he's saying, hey, you guys, listen, believers, listen to me. God is the one who's at work. The 2 Chronicles 30:12, the hand of God was also on Judah. Isaiah 26:12, Lord, you will establish peace for us, since you have also performed for us all of our works. Jeremiah 31:33, I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Acts 11:21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:5, now that we are adequate in ourselves to consider Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything is coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Hebrews 13:21, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That phrase in verse 13, the first part where it says, for it is God who is at work in you. God is the one who accomplishes His will in your life and through your life. Whether you know Christ or not, He's going to accomplish His will. Even if you don't want Him to, He's going to do it because He created you. He's just reminding the church of Philippi of these things. Then when it says both to will, back in verse 13, when it says both to will and to work, it's just saying that God is the one who's going to do it. God is the one who's going to work. When God wanted this world to be created back in Genesis 1, what did He do? He spoke this world into existence, and here it is. Bam. When God wants something to happen, it's going to happen. Regardless if you want it that way or not, it's going to happen. It's going to take place. And I find the end of verse 13 so fascinating, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. In Ephesians 1:5, it says, He, talking about Christ, or He, God, predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. He planned it that you would be saved, and you are saved. It's in His plan. Ephesians 1:9. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention which He purposed in us. Ephesians 1:11. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. Very familiar verse, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Titus 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which has granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. When I say that phrase on point three, when I said constant, when I say constant? Constant acknowledgement? Consistent acknowledgement. I can't remember the C's that I used. Consistent acknowledgement, what I mean by that is that as believers, you and I need to acknowledge what God has done. We need to acknowledge that God is the one who brought you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God is the one who gave you the family He wanted you to have. God is the one who created the universe. And so when you acknowledge God, what should that do to us? That ought to drive you to your knees in prayer before God, and you cry out to Him with thanksgiving, and you thank Him for what He's done. For what He's given you. In the last part, when it says in verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. You and I, as believers in Christ, we ought to be doing everything that we can that would bring pleasure to God or glory to God. Everything that you and I do should bring that pleasure to God. So before you and I do something, we should stop and ask ourselves, is this going to bring pleasure to our God, or is this going to dishonor our God? Is it not going to please Him? Simple application. This week, for the believer, strive to bring pleasure to God, or glory to God, whatever you want to put there. Strive to bring pleasure to God. Now I know that you and I were sinners. We mess up, we make mistakes. Not all of the time are you going to bring that pleasure to God. But that ought to be your goal. That ought to be my goal, day in and day out. When you wake up in the morning, you got to wake up and say, God, Heavenly Father, please help me to live my life in such a way that it brings pleasure and glory to You, Father. Is that your desire? Is that what you want to do? Is that what you do? And for those who sit here this evening and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I know I do this a lot, but it's a scary thing if you sit here and you don't know God. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know why? Because who should you fear? Should you fear man? No, we know in Scripture it says, do not fear man who can kill or can harm the body, but fear God who can cast your eternal soul into hell. The gift is out there. God has offered it to you in 1 Corinthians, no. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. And I believe it's 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I can't remember. Chapter 6, it says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Because remember, in God's timing, He's going to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. Regardless of if you like it or not, it's going to happen. It's going to take place. If He wants your life to end, it's going to happen. Would I hate for that to happen? Absolutely. I would hate to see that happen. But I would know that that's in God's plan. More important to me is where are you going? Where are you going to spend eternity? I challenge you to contemplate what we've talked about, what we've thought through. That as a believer in Christ, we need to be... Oh, somebody help me with how I did the C's. I can't remember now. The first one? Consistent obedience. The second one? Continual perseverance. The third one? Consistent acknowledgement. Acknowledgement of God, of who He is, of what He's done. You have to acknowledge that God is going to accomplish what He wants to happen in His timing and in His will. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll go ahead and go to our accountability groups. Heavenly Father, You are a great God. Lord, we thank You for just the few minutes we've had to talk about Your Word, the basics of what Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 mean. Lord, I pray that as we leave this evening, Lord, I pray that we would contemplate Your Word. Pray that we'd not walk out of here and just let it go in one ear and out the other ear, Lord. But I pray that we'd apply it to our lives, take it from here and take it to the next step, Lord, and make it applicable to our lives. Father, I pray that as we go to our accountability groups, pray that it'd be a profitable time. And Lord, I pray that as we fellowship together, interacting, having fun, playing games tonight, it'd be an enjoyable time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.